If you don't want to give your kids cell phones, how can you help them stay connected with friends and give them the independence they need? Could dumb phones be the smart way to go? You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss the alternative tech movement are freelance writer and editor Rayanna Murray and Wait Until 8th Chicago organizer Mark Suhu. Thank you both so much for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Rayanna, I want to start with you. What's the typical age when a lot of kids are getting smartphones these days? Is there a typical age?
Sure. Yeah. You know, I think middle school is when a lot of parents start seriously considering smartphones. It's when their kids are also getting a little more freedom, maybe experimenting with going out on their own or walking home from school. And so parents understandably want to be able to stay in touch with them.
Yeah. Mark, you and your wife are organizing Wait Until 8th efforts in the Chicago suburb of Wilmette. Explain what Wait Until 8th is and what motivated you and your wife to get involved.
Wait Until 8th is a national movement of over 120,000 parents encouraging other parents to wait until the end of eighth grade to give their child a smartphone. And as you alluded to in your introduction, we are specific about smartphones. So we do have a range of smartphone alternatives on our website at waituntil8th.org. But fundamentally, we think that a communal problem requires a communal solution. And by banding together, there's strength in numbers for parents to support one another to wait until the end of eighth grade so that their child isn't the only one left out of the equation.
Mark, what are the most common concerns you hear from parents about getting their kids a smartphone? What are they most worried about?
Yeah, absolutely. As I just mentioned, it's the most common thing we hear is, I don't want my child to be left out. And we turn that around by saying, well, we do want them to be left out of cyberbullying. We do want them to be left out of addiction. We do want them to be left out of sleep issues and other mental health challenges that come with smartphones at an early age. And we fundamentally think that waiting until the end of eighth grade or the start of high school is really critical for kids to be kids a little bit longer. And so by delaying this use of smartphones and 24/7 access to social media, we think we can support the mental health of our children.
So you're mostly hearing from parents who are worried about the pressure to get a phone. You're not hearing from parents who are saying, oh my gosh, I don't want my kid to have a phone. How can I avoid it? Is that what I'm hearing?
That's exactly right. Is they're having this, again, a communal problem requiring a communal solution. They think that their child needs it because everybody else has one. And through the Wait Until 8th pledge, we know that that isn't true. Right, we know that we can band together and support one another because there's a lot of kids who don't want them. They also don't want to be left out of planning. And again, this is where considering your alternatives, considering other options beyond a smartphone has real power. And there's real strength in numbers from parents banding together, recognizing that you don't have to jump immediately to a smartphone. You can get simpler phones, Apple Watches, other technology that prevents the 24/7 access to social media that we think is detrimental to kids today.
Rayanna, I know you've reported on this. Is there a growing interest all over the place among parents in this kind of old school tech? I mean, certainly an Apple Watch is an old school tech, but are parents actively seeking out alternatives to smartphones?
Yeah, I think they definitely are. I worked on a story earlier this year for The Atlantic about a group of parents in South Portland, Maine. At the time of my reporting, there were at least 20 families on board, but I think it's grown since then. But their kids were all around 10, 11 years old asking for smartphones, and they got them landline phones instead. And it's turned into this really cool experiment. Like, these kids in the neighborhood can call each other on their house phones, arrange bike rides around the neighborhood, set up their own play dates, call and check on each other if somebody's out sick from school, or even just, you know, call and chat on a rainy day, which is really cool to see, the parents have told me. So yeah, that's happening. But I've also heard, from parents who have, Game Boys or Nintendo 64, like old video game consoles, so kids aren't live gaming, but they're still playing video games. Or of course, getting them flip phones instead of smartphones, things like that are definitely happening a lot.
And playing the Game Boy while being on a landline, it's like a Back to the Future kind of vibe.
It
Well, can those landlines though, Rana, can they be cost prohibitive? I mean, it can be expensive to add a landline to the bills you're already paying for maybe your own smartphone as a parent.
Sure, yeah, that's definitely true, but so is adding a smartphone to that plan, right? And I think parents who really want to do this might just have to get creative. You can start with calling your service provider and seeing what the options are. And if that doesn't work out, maybe you look into a Wi-Fi phone, because there are phones that have cords that go that that you can plug into the wall but work off of your Wi-Fi. And there's new products coming on the market too. One of them is called Tin Can. So it's a landline phone that you can call other people who have tin cans for free. So maybe if there's a group of parents who want to do this together in a neighborhood, they can all get that phone and then they can call each other for free. Because as you know, what Mark was talking about, this collective action part of this is just so crucial. It is really hard. If one kid has a landline, it's just not going to work as well if it's just them, because then they're going to be using their landline to call other people's parents' cell phones. And that just kind of defeats the purpose, right? So the mom who started this landline pod in Maine was telling me that right away she knew it wasn't going to work unless she got all of her friends and her kids' friends to get on board and get landlines too. And she did, and it worked out really well.
Yeah, she must be pretty persuasive.
To be honest, I don't think it took a lot of persuasion. I mean, I think once she explained the idea, parents of kids are so hungry for solutions here, that I think they're eager to try something that sounds like it will work.
We're talking about alternative technology for people who don't want to give their kids smartphones. Are you struggling with that decision? What options are you considering? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Mark, I understand. Do you feel, I mean, obviously you're involved in Wait Until 8th, but is this a broader movement, do you think? There are these alternative tech fairs. How broadly is this catching on?
Absolutely. I think Jonathan Haidt's book, The Anxious Generation, last year really opened a lot of parents' eyes to the challenges and the negative consequences of smartphones and social media on kids. And so I think this is exactly where I love this, what you're just talking about with the parents in Maine. And this is exactly what the power of the Wait Until 8th pledge unlocks, is by going to waituntil8th.org and seeing who else in your community feels the same way you do. That has real power, because then you can join together, you can organize. We have over 700 parents who have joined together in our village of Wilmette. And this is the first time that we have over 25% of the incoming middle school class who have pledged to not get smartphones until after high school. And it has real power, because now we've reached a tipping point to make it the norm in our community that we'll wait a little bit to get smartphones. And it does require you to be a little bit creative, and either thinking about Tin Can or Magic Jack or flip phones or Apple Watches, or even AirTags. There's lots of different technology that parents can use today to have their kids stay in touch with one another. But the real core of it is thinking about what is the purpose? What are you trying to solve for? And really, if it's to stay connected, you don't need a smartphone for that.
Mark, can you talk a little bit more about some of these other low-tech alternatives? You just rattled off some names there. Rana talked
Sure.
about landlines and tin can, and I think a lot of people are familiar with Apple Watches, but what are some of these other things? It seems like there are lots of companies making these products to deal with this problem.
Absolutely. I would encourage folks to go to waituntil8th.org and explore the smartphone alternatives on there. There's plenty more, though. Friends of ours use a Magic Jack, which allows voice over calling. We use an Apple Watch for our son. Other parents have used flip phones or gizmos or solutions like that. There's lots of different alternatives, and I think each family is going to find the solution that's right for them. And I think the key here is really thinking about what is the role you want technology to play in your family's life. And this also requires parents to take a look in the mirror and understand what is their relationship with tech. And again, on our website at waituntil8.org, we have lots of resources for parents to think through what is the commitment I'm making to my kids. And we really do want to make sure that they're able to stay in touch, because that's the other part of the anxious generation, is we can't replace a smartphone with nothing. We have to replace it with child-based play. And the organization letgrow.org has great resources for how do we let kids have that independence and, let kids be kids a little bit longer without getting them into social media and other negative mental health challenges.
Rana, you were talking about these landlines. What are some of the ground rules of phone etiquette that families set with children? Or I don't know if you're dealing with this with your own children.
Yeah, my kids are still young, so we haven't had the smartphone conversation just yet. But the parents who I interviewed who have installed landlines actually talked about how they didn't need to implement a lot of ground rules around them. I mean, the phones are most of the time in the living room or in the kitchen or dining room. So parents are always going to be nearby, assuming they have a corded phone hooked up into the wall. It's not something they could take outside and have a conversation in private with them. So that's, it's kind of like a natural benefit to having the landline. They don't have to install all these privacy controls. You can't get on Instagram, or, YouTube on a landline. You really can just talk, and that's kind of the beauty of it.
Yeah, I wonder if there's even a learning curve to holding the handset up to talk. I mean, you don't really have to do that with a smartphone always.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was so funny. One of the moms that I interviewed for that piece told me about how her sons were still kind of learning how to use a landline, what the phone even was and how it worked. And that one of her kids would pick up the phone and say, "Are you home?" when he called his friends, like not understanding that they're always going to be home because it's a home phone. So things like that. And they had to work on just greetings, how to ask somebody's parent to speak to their friend, that sort of thing, and introduce themselves, things that you don't have to do. I mean, I guess a phone could have, a landline can have caller ID, but you don't really have to do that as much with a smartphone or a FaceTime.
What about you, Mark? Is that something you've gone over with your own kids, or you hear people talking about just kind of teaching them how to work a phone? I mean, so many people have their smartphones and hate talking on the phone. They don't even use it for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've gone through our family's phone plan. Again, a great resource on the Wait Until 8th website. And again, this is all about starting that conversation, and frankly, starting that conversation earlier than you'd think. People can take the pledge for their kids as early as kindergarten, so they can sign up at waituntil8th.org that early. And I think the key for us is having being really intentional and understanding, having this be an ongoing conversation with your child, because the conversation at kindergarten and the conversation at fourth grade and the conversation at sixth grade are different conversations. So having this be something that you're going to set the expectation that we're going to understand what the ground rules are for our family, and walk the walk as parents. So understanding when you say things like no phones at the dinner table, that you're walking that walk too.
That means your phone too. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mark, what about teaching a young child or even a middle school age child that you can talk on the phone without seeing a person? I mean, so many people are doing video chats. Is there benefit to just hearing a person's voice instead of seeing the words come out of their faces on a video chat?
Yeah, I think there's lots of benefits to all different kinds of tech, whether it's a flip phone or Apple Watch or a simple landline. And yes, I think that's the beauty of a pledge like the Wait Until 8th pledge is We're not saying don't be connected. In fact, we want kids to stay connected. We just don't want them connecting through Snapchat and TikTok and other things that are going to distract them and cause other mental health challenges. So this is where too, we really stress for parents to be guides for their kids. So in the same way that you wouldn't give your child the keys to your car and say, "Hey, have fun, go drive," right? You walk them through and teach them how to drive. Same thing here with social media and smartphones, so that you're coaching them and teaching them and giving them more responsibility, so that when they do get to high school and beyond, they're able to use technology smartly and safely, which is really important for kids today.
Rana, you mentioned that the mom in Maine that you talked to had pretty good success getting this landline pod established. But I wonder, is that how successful that is typically? I mean, all of us have seen like little bitty babies in restaurants glued to a cell phone. I mean, so many people just automatically seem to think this is the way we do it. We get kids on these phones really young, and then they get them when they're older. Do you think it could be a hard sell to get this critical mass of people?
Maybe. I guess it really depends. But I think the first step would probably be talking about it with other parents. Like Mark said, when you go to the Wait Until Eighth website, it's so cool how you can see the other people in your community who are concerned about this and into doing something about it. So I think you have to take some initiative and bring it up with the parents of your kids' friends and see what they say and go from there.
We got an email from Kevin who says a friend just had a landline installed. He and his wife, both prolific communicators, wanted their daughters to learn how to carry on a conversation with words, not text messages. They got a fun lip-shaped phone, and it seems the girls love it. Life is so very circular. No kidding. It's that kind of back to the future thing we were talking about. So, Mark, what are some first steps? How, if you're a parent, I mean, obviously you can go to the website that you've talked about, Wait Until Eighth, but I don't know how active that group is in Greater Cincinnati. If you want to just have a conversation, is there advice about talking with other parents about this without being overbearing and making it sound like you're a bad parent if you don't do this?
Sure. Yeah, and that's really key, is that it's going to be every family is unique. Every family has different challenges. And I think, as we were just talking about, opening the door for conversation with kids, that's how we started it. When our son was in second grade, we simply sent an email to several friends' parents and said, "Hey, have you started thinking about this? What have you seen?" And we were really surprised at how immediate and how visceral the connection was. Like, "Oh my gosh, yes, I want to avoid this as long as possible." And we've seen a lot of different discussions over the years, right? So some parents say yes, some parents say maybe, some are still thinking about it. The important thing is for you to be proactive and have the conversation with other parents in your child's class. And again, we obviously are trying to encourage parents to take the Wait Until Eighth pledge at waituntil8th.org. And once 10 parents in your child's school and class take the pledge, it becomes activated and you get connected to one another. And you can really start to organize from there. But it really starts with one parent listening here, sending them this clip or saying, "Hey, I heard about this on WVXU, and I want to have this conversation. Let's talk about this and have a coffee chat and sit down and start organizing." Because it starts with one parent.
I am confident I am a lot older than both of you, but do either of you have fun memories of using a landline in your youth? Ran, I'll start with you. Is that something you have memories of, sitting on the couch with a phone cord and
Of
twirling it around?
course. That's such a vivid scene too, isn't it? The twirling of the phone cord around your finger. But yeah, I absolutely do. And like if somebody wanted to use AIM and the other person wanted to use the phone, you'd have to sort that out. I also remember when I was allowed to have my own landline in my bedroom so I could have conversations with friends that were a little more private
That's
and how
huge,
exciting
Rihanna. I
that
never got
was.
that. Well done.
So yeah, I think, and that's what I've heard from parents too, that there is a joy in this that's really nice to see. It's fun to use a landline. It's fun to call your friends whenever you want and see if they're home. And that's what you're giving these kids when you give them this. You're not taking something away. You're giving them a tool for communication that they can play with.
Mark, is there a sense that these dumb phones or other devices can also help kids become different kinds of communicators or could be, provide training for responsible smartphone use when the time comes?
Yeah, absolutely. As I was saying, this isn't an all or nothing approach, right? And especially with the rise of AI and the rise of new technology, it's really critical for kids to be literate and be aware and understand positives and negatives and really go into everything eyes wide open. And again, this is where it's so critical for parents to be a coach and a mentor. And that's what we do as parents every day, right? We teach them to ride bikes and we teach them to look both ways before they cross the street. In the same way, we need to teach them about responsible technology use. And one of the things about talking on the phone and having conversations, as you were alluding to, is being a good storyteller, being a good communicator. That is something that's going to be even more critical in the age of AI. And why, when we say let kids be kids a little bit longer, that's not just a tagline. That something is, we're not just looking for nostalgia. We're saying, we're giving you the gift of childhood. We're giving you the gift of talking and connecting without using Snapchat and TikTok and things that are going to distract you and take your attention away. And I think that is a really critical part of growing up today, and
Yeah.
why I'm so passionate about Wait Until Leave.
It's a lot harder to make prank phone calls on smartphones too, isn't
Absolutely. That
it?
is something Bart Simpson would not do as well today, I'm
Yeah.
sure.
No. Yeah. I don't know. We want our kids to be Bart Simpsons, but I mean, there are some advantages there. So, Mark, what are the features most families are looking for in a smartphone alternative? Is there a standard kind of checklist?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, we on our website, waituntillate.org, we have some really great resources to start these conversations with your family and really start from the perspective of purpose. What are you trying to solve to? The number one thing that we're trying to solve to is, for a lot of families that we hear from is, I need to pick up my child from soccer practice, or we need to coordinate these kind of things. Absolutely, totally makes sense. And that's a challenge for all families today. And again, this is where we've had success encouraging people to think about that statement of purpose. Think about what are you trying to accomplish and start from the feature of I just want to get in touch. Great. You don't need a smartphone for that. You can easily do that with a flip phone or an Apple Watch or other solutions.
Okay. Well, I've been talking with freelance writer and editor Rayanna Murray and Wait Until 8th Chicago area organizer Mark Suhu. Thank you both so much for your time today and for all this great information.
Thank you.
Thank you for the discussion.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director today is Stephen Baum. If you miss our program live, you can find Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lucy May. Thanks so much for listening.